Blog Talk Radio.
I have heard of a land on a far away strand. Is a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die.
When we look back in the Bible, there are those who walk real strong with God, then they get a little weak and walk real strong, Hezekiah being one of those. God extended his life past a sickness, and then he got visited by the Babylonians. Look at what I've got, what God has given me. You don't ever do that. You never brag on what you have or what you got. You're very quiet. Jesus spoke to us, don't do as the Pharisees do and have callers go beyond the cities and gates and yelling and screaming about this man gave this to help these people. Your giving is to be quiet. Your giving is to be between you and God, because your reward is from him, not from the adulation of other people. Adulation comes and goes pretty fast. And what bothers me in this day and hour is the people who are being admired in our society are horrible, corrupt people, morally, spiritually, and everything else. And yet our children are being taught to emulate them, to want to buy the clothes that they wear, to want to be in their fan club, to want to do all of these kind of things. I don't think this is quite right. I kind of think we have to analyze the walk that we have with God as individuals, our walk with our family as it relates to God, and we have to make choices and decisions that our children are not going to like. When my girls were young, I think Leah was already a teenager and Ruthie was fast approaching. I sat them down one day and I said, I want to tell you what I've decided about dating. Very important you listen to me. I said, the dating rules in this house are very simple. Never under my roof is it going to happen. I said, you're allowed to hang out with groups of kids and no boys through groups, but I will have no boy calling you individually and taking up your time and spending an hour or more on the phone. Not going to happen. Now, some say I was strict, but I learned it from a very good friend of ours. I'm sure you know Jerry Buscher. He did that with his children as well, boys and girls. When he explained to me the need for that and why that was, I said, that makes such sense to me that I implemented that same policy. I wouldn't have thought of it if I hadn't learned it from him. Others will say, well, that's horrible. You can't do that. Why not? Most of the young men out there who would be pursuing my daughters aren't Christians anyway, and I don't know what's on their mind, but it's not what's on my mind. I have no problem with that. I don't mind them meeting my kids in a group and sitting down and talking, getting to know each other a little bit, but they don't need private time with them, either through a date or through the phone. That was the choice I made, and my wife didn't have a problem with it, and my kids didn't really have a problem with it. Their job was to get through school. That was the whole deal. There'd be plenty of time after they got older. Although I will say that Leah was sort of afraid of boys in a way. And so when a young man began to take interest in her as she got older, she didn't want to know what to do about it. He just wouldn't let her go. He would be to eat lunch with her at Pinecrest. He joined a reenactment group that she belonged to and I was in just so she could be near her. And then she says to me, what do I do? This guy just won't leave me alone, Dad. And I says, well, give him a chance. Get to know him. And she married him. She was 23 and he was 21. They've been married 7 years now. Ruthie, on the other hand, she walks her own drummer's beat. She's 25. She has a young man in her life who I think it's probably going to end up in marriage. It seems like it's headed that way. But she's in no hurry. She says, I don't have much time for social life, Dad. You know that. That's because of her job. She's up at 6 o'clock every morning to go to the farm and milk cows. And then she's there in the evening milking cows. So when he wants to see her, he comes out and talks to her while she milks cows. And this is good. But at least they were neither one super boy crazy. That is not the ultimate goal in our life, is to try to implement a spiritual walk in our children to where they have a maturity later on how to handle the rest of life that comes at them. And when they fall, and they will, you pick them up, you dust them off, you pray with them, and you put them back on the path. That's what is required from us as parents. We are parents not till they are 20. We are parents until we go to the grave. It is not easy to walk in the life of a Christian when you compare to what the world has to offer. But if we understand what the world has to offer, it's not worth anything. It's just corrupt. We want to walk with God. We want to be involved with God. We want to be saturated, as Pastor put it. It becomes entirely necessary in our own walk that we continue to walk. I have friends who, when I first met them, he'd been to Bible school, and they claimed to be Christians, and she counseled with people on the internet, and you know, they did all these things. But their walk wasn't what I would call real tight. But my friend began to tighten up his walk. He really began to seek God, to seek things. And he's in a good church. But his tightening up his walk caused his wife to leave him eventually. Why? Because she was not as willing to be serious with God as he was. She was tired of living that life. She ran off and committed adultery. 20 years of marriage gone. But Corky says, no matter what, God is true in my life. Doesn't matter what she did. He says, and a lot of men would be seeking another relationship. He says, I want no relationship except with God. have no time for that. I don't want it. I want what God wants for me. That is our problem in life with many of the people we know. How many people do you know that relationships dissolve and the young woman involved in a relationship within 2 weeks is involved in another one? The young man probably within 4 weeks. They all seem to think they have to have some sort of relationship to be validated. Our validation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in anything else. We don't need what God does not provide for us. If it happens that we have a good relationship, bless God for that. If it happens we don't have a relationship, bless God for that. Continue to walk with who Jesus Christ is. Continue to make the hard choices. Continue to oppose when maybe coworkers and others will come up and they'll talk about how fine are the policies of our government. I try to ignore the government pretty much. I try not to have an opinion one way or another. They're not who butters my bread. They may butter the bread for thousands, but they don't butter mine. I choose to seek who the Lord has me to seek, his friends. I try to speak to people that need speaking to. I have met many people in my life who have blessed me much. I have a friend now that I've had for 6 years. We don't get together that often. Seems like about every 6 weeks or so he gives me a call and we end up having lunch together. And I would have never probably selected him as a friend. I came to know him through a work I was doing in Albany years ago. But he's a very strong Christian brother, and he's from Kenya. And I found this amazing that I have become friends with a man from another culture and another country. Now, some would say, looking at me, how could that be amazing? You've been a missionary. Well, still, it is amazing to me that I would meet someone from African culture or is not Filipino culture. And through my time with him, I had begun to learn a lot about African culture and how it affects Africans and the kind of life that they have. But I've prayed with him much, and I've prayed with his wife, who is a lovely woman. They lost a son to drug overdose in the Albany area a few years ago. And it was not because they were bad parents. The boy was already grown. He was already running around on his own. He just got with a bad crowd and ended up killing him. And I went through this horrible time with the both of them. And then the culture of the Africans is that a year later, you have another service in remembrance of him. And even that was hard to get through. But I've become insightful to how culture works with them. I've come to realize that sometimes we don't choose the friends that we have in God. Sometimes the people that God has put me close to as friends, I hate to say it, but my lovely wife cannot stand them. Luckily, John's not one of them. She loves John too, but there are some that I've become friendly with, and my wife happens to see the inner core of their being and knowing that it's a wasted effort on my part to be friends with them. And that's not what I look at. Yes, many times she's right. They are a wasted effort. They end up not really seeing how God works in their life. But that doesn't mean that I should not have had the time to try to put some life in them. God uses us in many ways. There are people who come to the Lord because of our witness to them. And there are others who the Lord will point at them in the time and say, Brother so-and-so gave you the word, and you know it was the word, and you rejected it. It will work in both ways. We are not really to know, but God knows. So in seeking to follow that which is right, we're always going to find people who are willing to settle for the bread. There are those who voted in the last election because of the welfare they get, of the extended employment benefits that they get, of the so-called free medical that they're going to get, which is not going to be so free. They voted because of the benefits that they get. And yet we saw Rome torn down because of those same situations.